Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. Now, our guest for the next hour is Barry Shamus. He's an investigative reporter. He spent over 30 years in Israel as an investigative reporter, extensively on the corruption at all levels of the Israeli government, including the murder of certainly Prime Minister Rabin by the government there. This was a coup d'etat arranged by a gentleman named Peres, who certainly today is the president of Israel. But there is a tremendous corruption in Israel at every level, at the upper echelons of government. And because Barry exposed this, there were threats on his life, which necessitated him coming to America. And we try to have him on as often as we can to keep us up and keep us abreast of what's going on in Israel. Because in many respects, I believe that what happens to Israel is going to have a profound impact here in the United States. And Israel is certainly in terrible straits today. Certainly with the fall of the Mubarak government, why Israel now has to fear instability, the radical Islamic Brotherhood movement on its southern frontier, certainly on its north, Lebanon, and Turkey now is no longer an ally of Israel. There certainly is the civil war going on in Syria, and Jordan certainly cannot be trusted as a permanent friend of Israel, even though Israel's done everything they could to make the nation of Jordan prosperous. So, basically, what's going on today, Barry, and what are the issues, main issues there as far as Israel is concerned, the events that are transpiring?
Yeah, the issue that's been nonstop in the news has been this a ransom for a hostage named Shalit. Israel gave up 1,027 prisoners for this one soldier. Now, I'm going to go through what you're talking about Israel gave up for this one soldier. I'm just going to give their first names. They don't deserve full recognition. All right, here's a partial list. There are 450 murderers that Israel gave up for one soldier. And here's what they did. Walid, he murdered 11 civilians and injured 54 more at the Moment Cafe in Jerusalem in 2002. Nasser murdered 30 civilians, received 29 life sentences, wounded 140 in the bombing of the Park Hotel in Netanya. This was on Seder night, Passover night of 2002. Hamis has 21 life sentences, assorted murders. They don't really go into details like they do with Majdi and Maid and Fadi. They receive 19 and 18 life sentences. They were jailed for their killing of 17 and injuring 53 during a bus bombing in Haifa in 2003. I hear the music.
You do. Go ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Well, let's look at Musab. 17 life sentences. He dispatched two suicide bombers to two buses in Beersheba, killing 16 civilians and injuring 100 in 2004.
Okay, well, we'll get back to this in just a minute. But, Barry, as we talk about it, none of this makes sense. Logical men would never release over 1,000 terrorists to get back one soldier, especially when many of these were responsible for multiple murders. You go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I want to continue with this so people understand what kind of a fiasco we're talking about here. Musav got 17 life sentences for twin bus bombings in Beersheba. Tamimi got 16 life sentences. She drove a suicide bomber to the Sabaro pizza restaurant in Jerusalem, murdering 15 and wounding 130. That was on August 9, 2011. No, it wasn't. That date is wrong. And nonetheless, the incident is right. Abed got 16 life sentences. He hijacked an Israeli bus and drove it off a cliff near Jerusalem, killing 16 passengers. Muhammad, he got 16 life sentences for carrying out attacks in Gaza, if you can believe it, in 1989, resulting in 16 murders. Look, we're not talking about just releasing people with traffic violations. These are mass murderers. That's what Israel did. Now, it gets worse because in the weeks since this deal, well, just so you know, Jerusalem right now is under total lockdown. All the medical and security staff are on high alert. They're expecting a major attack in Jerusalem right now. But other attacks? Well, only a fluke intervention of a few neighbors prevented the death by a Palestinian terror attack against several children. That was in Jerusalem. Well, the firefighters, as usual, I mean, all of Israel has, whenever there's a reason to use arson, 38 fires across northern weekend over the weekend. The police suspect local Arab nationalists of arson. Surprise, surprise. And by the way, 38 in a little country like Israel is burning up a lot of the foliage. And on Wednesday, a Palestinian woman stabbed an Israeli civilian waiting at a bus stop at Gush Etzion. While she pulled out her knife, she shouted, "Death to the Jews and God is great." This is what's happening. And, well, what? How does the Israeli government react to freeing...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan in Sydney. Various says that Israel is pretty well locked down now. Certainly, there's all sorts
Jerusalem
of violence.
Jerusalem is locked down.
Hey, pardon?
Jerusalem is locked down.
Well, Jerusalem is locked down, and basically it's because, of course, they fear violence. They've released over 1,000 terrorists to get back one soldier, and many of these people had multiple multiple murders, and certainly many of them had, you know, 20, 30 life sentences, things like that, and yet they were been released to get back one soldier. Does that really make sense? I mean, look at it logically. How does it make sense? Well, but then in a similar manner, why would America suddenly have some almost 500,000 troops in Afghanistan, 300,000 Afghan troops under the command of the American general there, 90,000 American troops, suddenly 46,000 NATO troops, and then 100,000 contractors. We have almost over 500,000 people in Afghanistan fighting 50 members of al-Qaeda. Does that really make sense to you? I mean, why would logical people have almost over 500,000 men in Afghanistan fighting 50 members of al-Qaeda? Why would Israel release over 1,000 brutal terrorists, certainly, who will certainly terrorize the nation of Israel, to get back one soldier? It doesn't make sense. But maybe it isn't expected to make sense. Do we live in a world gone mad? You can write ahead then.
Well, again, after this exchange, Gilad Shalit, of course, met Peres yesterday. And what did Peres do after the exchange? He met with the German mediator who told her The people of Israel are grateful for your contributions in bringing Gilad Shalit home. Peres met with the German mediator and all kinds of Germany security establishment, and the president thanked them all and thanked German Chancellor Angela Merkel for Germany's invaluable assistance in bringing Shalit home. Now, what they've done, you thank Germany for murdering the next hundred or hundreds of Jews. That's what you thank Germany for. And again, I think there's something, I think the motive was not to bring the soldier home. I don't trust Germany to mediate Jewish lives. That would be the last country on this planet that I would appoint to mediate Jewish lives. And that's, well, apparently the president of Israel had very close ties with bringing Gilad Shalit home by working hand-in-hand with the Germans. And that already, to me, that just stinks. All right, and that's, I'm not going through the history of that. You know why it stinks. Now, the army, they really, really have not stood behind the government on this one little bit. Now, I'll start with General Uzi Dayan, who was the deputy chief of staff of the IDF. He said, well, what he said is that the state, the IDF, let this deal happen because, well, when it failed to offer an alternative way to free Shalit, which the army was supposed to do, well, you just went to negotiations, and Israel apparently is the world's worst negotiator. Now, I found out something. I'll go back to the army. The army is really mad at this. But I was sure that Shalit was dead after 5 years. It turns out that Amir Peretz, who was the head of the Labor Party, well, he just said that the government intervened on Shalit in 2006. In other words, in the day or days after he was kidnapped, Israel was already negotiating with Hamas. So Hamas had a darn good reason to keep him alive. They were getting a terrific deal out of it. But the big question we're going to ask from Uzi Dayan, when Israel went into the Gaza Strip in 2009 and just took it with minimum losses, why did they pull out before they went looking for Shalit? If you're going to attack Gaza, that should be a first priority. Why did Israel attack Gaza, bring it to its knees, and leave without Shalit? And this is what Dayan is more than just hinting about. The army didn't offer a way, so we had to go through with this deal. Now, the former head of the Mossad, no less, Meir Dagan, just said that the real crime going on is that amongst the terrorists, in fact, they were amongst the first to be freed, were Israeli Arabs. And they, again, all murderers, all of them, the works. They were residents of Umm al-Fakhan and Arara. It doesn't matter. It's in Israel. They're back at home in Israel, free to carry on with whatever it is they like carrying on with. But it's not that these terrorists were sent to Gaza. They were also sent straight back to Israel. Now, it gets worse, if you can believe this. Now, you have the whole issue. All right, I got to mention this first. This is unbelievable. We're back to the IDF. The IDF, after hearing from a general and the chief of the Mossad, the IDF has told the government that it must make gestures to the Palestinian Authority. Why? To compensate for the damage done to the status of Fatah by the release to Hamas of Gilad Shalit. What the IDF says, they recommended a bunch of things that the government must do. They must release more Palestinian PA prisoners, send more bodies of terrorists back to the Palestinian Authority, give more land to the PA, more authority, security authority. This is what the army is telling the government to do so that Fatah doesn't gain a foothold over the Palestinian Authority. How's that?
Well, it's unbelievable. The whole thing is so unbelievable from a rational point of view. And so, basically, if this is totally illogical, there has to be another agenda. You recognize that, as do I.
I don't know what it is.
But there has to be a reason. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. I'm not saying I know what it is, other than the fact that we're going to see a lot more Israelis die, but it is totally illogical. What America has been doing in Afghanistan for the last 10 years is totally illogical. I mean, we can give you example after example after example of these things happening, and if you stop and you think about them, they're totally illogical, so there has to be another explanation. But you go right ahead.
Well, while the IDF have presented the government with a list of recommendations on how to beef up Mahmoud Abbas because Hamas negotiated the swap, what is going on in Gaza? Well, Hamas, the head of Ezzedine, that's the Al-Qassam brigade, that's the Hamas military arm, has outlined the policy of Hamas, quote, Hamas will continue to abduct Israeli soldiers. This he, well, he said it to the to Gaza, was the Hamas-affiliated media. Here's a quote. We will continue to abduct Israeli soldiers and officers as long as there are Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. So while the IDF has decided to reward the Palestinian Authority for giving Hamas the break of 1,027 the prisoner exchange. Okay, that's what they call it. Nobody calls it ransom, which is what it was. And nobody is really focusing on the families who were lost to these murderers who are now free. There's no justice in Israel. That's putting it mildly. But we have to ask the big question. Now, I'm going to give you the statistics. And well, there are all kinds of polls have been taken, and here is the result. 75% of the Israeli public supported the deal, and only 15.5% opposed the deal, which, of course, it means that Israelis are nuts. And, by the way, as a first reaction, I would say that just shows that Israelis are insane. But, oops, I hear the music.
Go right ahead, I'll tell you when to stop.
All righty. But they're not completely insane, because 61% of the respondents also believe the deal increases the Palestinians' motivation to commit acts of terrorism.
Absolutely.
Well,
and
yeah,
to kidnap more in the way of soldiers. But remember, Barry, you and I talked about this 4 or 5 years ago whenever the soldier was abducted, and it was very obvious that there were people within the movement there at the Israeli side at that time who could have rescued Shalit, and they did not. It was almost as if they wanted him to be kidnapped and held hostage. Go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, no, I think you're missing my point here.
Right.
The point is that 75% of the public supported this deal, knowing the vast majority of them that it would lead to terrorism. Look, I can't make sense of that kind of a split. Now, it turns out there really is an answer. Look, are Israelis complete masochists? Let's bring back Gilad, even though it's going to cause lots more Gilads. It's not logical. But it turns out there's an answer, and this has been going on. Well, the Shalit family hired a PR firm. The firm was Shamor Adnon Amichai. They ran a campaign, a long campaign on the Israeli public to make them crazy. And they were so proud of themselves. You know, one advertising executive, this I got from, what's her name, Carolyn, I forget her last name now. Nonetheless, she interviewed one of the ad executives. And his name was Sefi Shaket. He says it was a battle between two brands. One was bring Gilad back. The other is, whoa, what murder we're going to get if we bring Gilad back. He said the challenge was to make the second argument go away so that all that's left is bring Gilad back at any price. And it was a very professional campaign. And it worked on the Israeli people to rub out the consequences and put all their focus on getting one soldier back. Apparently, this was brainwashing is the only word that we can describe it. I mean, that's the only word. And it was a very serious brainwashing campaign that went on for a long, long time.
But it costs a lot of money to do something like that. Does the Shalit family have that sort of money?
You raise it.
I see. Did they raise that sort of money? Did they have some help from some very powerful forces and financiers?
No, they ran a public campaign. People donated, and they paid the ad agency. It wasn't any higher than that.
All right. So do you think they raised sufficient funds for the propaganda campaign or by just running ads?
I'm not sure what you mean, but they raised money.
Okay, fine. But were they, you know, basically it costs a lot of money to run a major advertising campaign like
they
that.
They had the money.
Okay, fine.
All right. That's a fact. They had the money and they won.
Right.
Now, look, the craziness that's going on, watch this one. I mean, this one is unbelievable. Mahmoud Abbas, the PLO head, is honoring he has to get his 2 cents in, right? He can't let Hamas get all the credit. So he is honoring each and every terrorist freed by Israel with a $5,000 grant.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Barry explains the fact that the majority of the Israelis support the release of Shalit, the Israeli soldier. They support it because there was a massive advertising campaign and it ran for years with funds raised from the Israeli people to get the soldier back in exchange for over 1,000 terrorists. And certainly now, of course, the head of the PLO is giving each one of the terrorists these multiple murders, and certainly over four of them were murderers convicted of murder. But they all got to get a $5,000 contribution from the PLO, because PLO is funded by American money. So, well, I'm sure some of
them are. That's the point. The money is funded equally between the United States and the European Union. Yep, that's the point, all right.
Go right ahead. So our money will then go to finance the terrorists. Go ahead.
Well, to give them a reward for getting out of prison, to give them a good time for their first few months, whatever. Yeah, that's American money. That was my point, all right. Look, there are reactions that are worthy of noting. And there's an Israeli organization of reservists. They have made a declaration. All the signatories, and apparently it's called My Israel. It's got a chairperson, Ayelet Shaked, that would be a woman, and David Sviel. They say if we are captured or kidnapped, we will not allow ourselves to be used in a ransom deal. All right? Here's a quote from their proclamation. When soldiers and reservists say they are ready to bear on their shoulders the burden of defending the nation, even the terrible suffering of captured by the enemy, to save Israel from the terrible danger posed to the country due to the release of terrorists, the state of Israel can't avoid expressing a firm, resolute, and clear stance that we are not going to ransom us. The reserve soldiers will not stand. We will not stand by and allow ourselves to be ransomed. Now that's in this awful story. There's so little light in this story, but that's the light of this story, that the soldiers, if they're captured, refuse to be used as a bargaining chip in a ransom swap.
Well, there are some very, very brave people over there who want to defend Israel. They don't understand, Barry, that they're being betrayed by their leaders. And this is the same thing in America. The average American doesn't understand that our country is being betrayed by our leaders. But go right ahead.
Oh, this story gets so, so much worse. Your listeners probably don't know who Marwan Barghouti is. He is the master terror. He's the one that Netanyahu said is not getting out of prison ever. Barghouti was the leader of the leaders of the terrorists. And, well, Netanyahu held his ground and Barghouti didn't get out. Big victory. But who comes to Barghouti's rescue? None other than Yossi Beilin. Of course, that's Shimon Peres' partner. He was the deputy justice minister. Yossi Beilin he was the founder of the Geneva Accord. Oops, I hear the music.
Go right ahead. Keep right on going.
Well, what he's saying, he says, Barghouti is serving 5 life terms for masterminding deadly terror attacks. But what does Beilin say? We made a big mistake not releasing him. Soon there will be presidential elections in the Palestinian Authority. Barghouti will be a candidate and will win. And then there will be international pressure on Israel to release the jailed president. Who needs it? We should have got rid of him.
You're absolutely right, Barry. But you see, they're always...
No, I don't believe that for one second. That's what Balin said.
I know, but basically this man should have been... He should have been eliminated a long time ago.
That's what I believe. Let's just finish off with Balin. We may have confused the listeners. Here's what Balin said. He said that, quote, Barghouti is a political leader, not a terrorist. Even if he led others to use terror and was responsible for the Second Intifada. That's his quote. Well, others did the terror and he was responsible for the Intifada, which murdered hundreds of Israelis, but he's a political leader, not a terrorist. The thinking, the insanity. Look, even the correspondent wrote afterwards, he didn't explain how a mass murderer can be considered a legitimate political leader. Look, the Israeli left, of which Yossi Balin has been trying to manipulate them, and he's been doing an excellent job. They're beyond nuts. Releasing the leader of all the terrorists and getting an endorsement from the former deputy justice minister. Remember that. This is coming from someone who was, meted out justice in Israel, decided what justice was to be in Israel, and in this justice minister's point of view, releasing a mass murderer is obligatory because he's going to run for the Palestinian parliament, and therefore he should be released. Nobody thinks like this. This way of thinking is so beyond... Look... It's not beyond what's going on in Israel. That's the problem. And maintaining your sanity in Israel with all this happening is probably the biggest challenge. Your brain is being bombarded with absurdities, but the absurdities are coming from the top of your government.
No argument here.
All right, then.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry simply talking about the insanity over in Israel, and certainly the fellow named Balin is in he's a very key influential man over there, who, of course, certainly has said that this master terrorist who's responsible for an incredible number of terrorist attacks, but that he should have been released along with the others. And Barry is decrying the fact that there doesn't seem to be any resistance to this among the majority of the Israeli people. They're willing to go along with this because they've been brainwashed, and they see nothing wrong with releasing, or the majority see nothing wrong with releasing, over 1,020 terrorists, over 400 of them, many of them with mass murders. They're all 400 murderers, many with mass murders. And then, of course, because one of the worst of the worst of the worst was not released, there are other people there saying he really should have been released. And Barry's decrying the fact that the Israeli people are either mad, or they're not thinking, or they're brainwashed. But unfortunately, I think this sort of thing is true. All throughout the world, people are not seeing things clearly.
Look at who's running.
Right.
Look, the way... this shouldn't be a surprise either. It really shouldn't. But Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch commented on the I'm going to say it again. It was a kidnapping ransom mafia deal. That's what it was. But they called it a prisoner swap, an exchange. Like 1,027 to 1 is an exchange. But, well, what they said is, well, they equated Gilad Shalit with the Palestinian prisoners. They're all the same, of course. And what they did to do this, oh, what immorality. Amnesty International and the Human Rights Watch spew. Well, don't forget, Shalit was kidnapped. He was held illegally incommunicado. Everyone thought he was dead, including me. His family didn't know if he was dead or alive. And they're comparing that with the Palestinian prisoners who, in their long, long jail stretches, had literally a few weeks where the security situation also kept them incommunicado with their families. You're talking about, there's no comparison. The prisoners, no matter what they did, were held with basic prisoner rights. Gilad Shalit was not. And this is the thinking, and you can't do anything about it. That's the way they think. It seems anyone who's taken a basic first-year philosophy course could crack this open in a second, but nonetheless, this is the kind of thinking that's going on the left. And it's just supporting the Palestinians 100%, and giving Israel, the only thing that Israel gets credit for is releasing 1,027 prisoners, 450 of them murderers.
We live in a world gone mad, Barry, and when you understand that, it's very easy to understand what's going on, because if you don't recognize that, it appears to be complete and total insanity. Okay, fine. Well, before we go on, I want to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can get your PayPal button. Just give them an idea how to get your material.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Oh, listen, I've had a very rough month because of my emails. AT&T, Uverse, after a month where I finally wrote the executive offices, and I finally got a president from the executive offices to go in and fix my computer, I got my email address back. I didn't have it for a month. And, look, the feeling was I was hacked, that someone got to me and hacked me. But neither here nor there, I've been so upset and depressed that I haven't been writing properly, and whatever, I'll get back to it this week. I got it fixed, finally. If you want to get my books, first of all, go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com, and you can read my books no matter what happens to my emails. That's lulu.com. You'll see a search box right in my name. Chamish. That's Chamish. And my website is barrychamish.com. On it, there is a PayPal button. And it's right at the bottom of the main page. What can I say? If you contribute to me, I'll contribute. I'll be very grateful to anyone who does. I have books and DVDs to say thank you with. Now, I'm going to add something. My former publisher in Israel, David Perkins, emailed me and left his phone number, and I spoke with him, and lo and behold, he sent me a box of original books, original first edition Israeli books. He kept it for so long. They include Israel Betrayed, Last Days of Israel, and Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. If you want the original book, And I think they're rare, and I think they're valuable. Just give me a call. That's 904-315-8079, 904-315-8079. There. Now, back to this world we're talking about. You know, this is what astounds me. Now, Israel has just guaranteed, I say guaranteed, itself a future of misery. That's what it did. And it certainly guarantees that there's no justice in Israel. If you commit murder, it's just a matter of time. You just wait, and you'll be let out. That's also guaranteed. But what happened in Libya this week? As an example, Gaddafi is captured. Well, you put him on trial. You interrogate him. He was captured alive. He was captured alive and helpless. And somebody just summarily put a bullet through his head. And he was begging them not to. Look, whatever replaces Gaddafi in Libya, you got an example of the butchery that is taking over that country. They put him in a meat locker so that everyone could come with their cameras to take pictures of a dead Gaddafi. If people don't understand that a civilized place, look, Saddam Hussein was captured. He was put on trial, and then he was executed. I'm not saying it was a fair trial. I'm not saying that everything was just all the way. But when he was captured, nobody put a bullet through his head and killed him on the spot. In as much as we try and maintain that we are a civilized nation, America didn't shoot him on the spot. What you have in Libya taking over that place, you have an example of what is taking over that place.
Well, I think we're going to see increasing violence of this sort all over the world in the years that lie ahead. We go right ahead.
Well, we'll see it in Libya. I'm hoping not everyone takes umbrage from that act, but that was, look, Gaddafi lost. He was unarmed, and he was begging for his life, and they shot him through the head.
Well, it sort of sounds like Osama bin Laden, who was unarmed, and he was had no means of protecting himself, and the SEAL team murdered him, and they're being praised for that. A great heroic act.
No, they didn't. I don't believe for one second.
Well, that's what we're told. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's been dead for a long period of time. But the American people were told that they shot a defenseless man. They identified him with genetically to make sure that it was him. And then, of course, that they took him out and shoved him in the ocean, which, of course, is against Islamic law. I don't believe this story either. But this is the story that they told, that the SEAL team shot a defenseless man. How could you possibly justify that?
Look, I'm going to go off topic a little bit. There was another murder that was very similar to it. The victim was John Kennedy Jr., and his plane was blown up, and his wife and sister-in-law were also murdered. The bodies, without asking the parents, they were cremated on the spot, taken to a Navy ship, and dumped into the ocean. That's called hiding the evidence. And the same thing with Osama bin Laden. They made sure there was no evidence of the phony that they actually killed. We'll never be able to prove. We're stuck with their story. It's called destruction of evidence. That's what that was.
You won't get any objection at all from me. I think it's the story is so phony, you wonder how the American people can accept it. But they will accept anything as long as it comes in over ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Oh, the Middle East is so ridiculous. Israel put together a medical and rescue team and offered to send it. Well, Turkey had a very bad earthquake. It could turn out to be thousands are dead. Turkey said, no, you're not going to help our people. I mean, that's just stupid. All right? They're not doing a very good job. They could use some help. What have they got to lose? Somebody wants to send a rescue team and some medical people. You turn that down, that means that you would rather see, people unrescued and dying than have Israel show up and help you out.
We saw that in New Orleans after the flood there, you know, when such a big people came from all over the South with boats and with equipment, and they wanted to go in and help these people there trapped on the roofs in New Orleans. And FEMA would not allow them to come in. They had motorboats. No, you can't go in and rescue the people. And people died in the hospitals because FEMA was there blocking aid. Why should we be surprised when Turkey is blocking aid from Israel? We live in a world gone mad, Barry. When you understand that, it all makes sense. But go ahead.
Well, that's certainly an explanation. Look, this is hatred. I don't know what it is. I got to tell you the truth. To turn down aid, again, Israel and Turkey are allies. On paper, anyways, they haven't broken diplomatic relations. Israel had arson, terrible, terrible arson. I believe it was last spring, where 43 Israelis were killed. Well, again, Israel covers up the arson, and they just don't say that Arabs caused the arson that killed 43 Israelis. But Turkey was one of the countries that came in with firefighting equipment to put out the fire. And Israel, they volunteered, and Israel didn't tell them to get lost. What you've got right now is a spreading hatred of Israel. Boy, when Turkey goes and Egypt goes, Israel has never been, well, at least not, it's been a long time since Israel had no ally whatsoever. Turkey was always their ally, and Egypt came along after the 73 war, but now Israel's just surrounded by countries that despise her. Now, you've got to, this is, it may not seem important to you, but it is important. When Israel signed the peace accord with the PLO, the so-called Oslo Accord, there were a couple of Jewish tombs that were very, very important to the religious. One was in Nablus. It was called Joseph's Tomb. That's where Joseph is buried. And one was in Bethlehem. That is called Rachel's Tomb. And as part of this peace, the PLO would have the territory surrounding both tombs, but they would allow religious Jews to make pilgrimages there and for it to be free for Jews. Simple as that. Israel allows the Arabs to visit Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's not even an issue in a normal civilization. If there's a religious site, go and visit it. If Israel shut down all the mosques, well, you can imagine what would happen if Israel shut down all the mosques. Well, Joseph's tomb, I've already spoken about that in the recent murder of Limor Livnat. She is a major politician in Israel. Her nephew was murdered in Joseph's tomb a few months ago, and I said that was no accident. Well, now we're coming up to Rachel's tomb. Now, on the 11th day of Cheshvan, that's November 8th, that is when the biblical matriarch's death is celebrated. It's the observance of the anniversary of Rachel's death. Last year, the Palestinian Authority, well, they just threw rocks and firebombs. Any Jew who tried to arrive to honor Rachel, their matriarch, was in danger of his life. Oops. I hear me. Are we about finished?
We're almost. We got 3 minutes more to go. Go ahead.
All right. The PLO have said that if any Jew tries to honor, again, it's called the 11th day of Cheshvan, the anniversary of Rachel's death, they will be trapped in their buses. Meanwhile, the bus company said we will not repeat those incidents this year, which, by the way, can be taken two ways. One is the legitimate way. We will send our security forces to make sure that our buses aren't firebombed.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead.
But I don't think it's the good explanation. I think what the bus company, is called Egged, was saying is we're not going to take the religious to Rachel's tomb this year. That's why it won't happen. Again, there was an agreement called Oslo. Well, what can you say? It was not a peace accord. It was a war accord. And Israel has lost and wounded and killed about 10,000 of its citizens to its allies in the Oslo Accord, the Palestinians. What Israel did in releasing Shalit is fuel the terror army of their enemies. And what can you do? What can Israel do? What can it do? They already brought the Palestinians back. They already armed the Palestinians. What are you going to do? Go back to the old days and have a war and throw them out to Lebanon and clean up the territories? Those days are gone. Israel's stuck with this mess. And I'll be frank, and I'm going to be a little pessimistic. I don't see how they can get out of it. And I'm sorry, I don't see it. I don't see how it could be done. I don't see, people are writing me and saying, look for a biblical answer. I said, oh yeah, what is it? What does a biblical answer mean? I think what Israel has done is fueled the death of a lot of Jews in the upcoming years, and I don't think there's an answer. There. If somebody can correct me, I would be delighted to hear it.
Well, I share your concern about the future of Israel because, of course, your leadership, I do not believe their loyalty is to the preservation of Israel. I believe
Could it? Could their loyalty be to the preservation of the people of Israel by foisting on them mass murderers?
Absolutely not. We're out of time, Barry. I share your concern, and we'll be talking to you hopefully next week. Good night, Barry. Hopefully one of these days people will become aware of the fact that the people of Israel are being betrayed
by their own leaders.
By their own leaders. That's what it's all about. Good night. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Barry Shamish. And of course, I hope you enjoy our weekly conversation with Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Barry brings out the point that it should be so obvious that the leaders of Israel are betraying the Israeli people. just as the leaders of our country are betraying the American people. And certainly, why are we fighting over in Afghanistan for 10 years, almost over 500,000 people, including the 300,000-man Afghan army fighting 55 members of al-Qaeda? Why are the leaders of Israel releasing 1,027 hardened terrorists and over 400 of them multiple murderers to get back one soldier? None of these things make sense unless you understand there are other forces at work in society today. And that, of course, is what my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is all about. And if you haven't read it, you need to get it. To begin to try to make some sense out of a world gone mad. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. Of course, we hope you'll want to get my talk on the world revolution. There you'll see in my interview with Ambassador Smith, American ambassador to Cuba, in 1959, when the American State Department turned Cuba over to a hardened communist named Fidel Castro, knowing full well he was a hardened communist. And certainly you need to get my DVD, my interview with Anthony Sutton, Professor Sutton. And, of course, he goes into the background of how people in America had funded the Soviet Union, had funded the Nazi movement, who funded the North Vietnamese indirectly all during the Vietnam War, as the North Vietnamese funded the Viet Cong, who were killing American soldiers. You need to get the three books we have on the funding of the Nazi movement during the Second World War, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. You need to get the book America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus and Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham. But so there you can get also see the book, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, or the DVD, The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. And the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Look at the books we offer, the DVD sets, certainly the CDs, the videos. You need to get the information. You need to help others understand that behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. And if you don't recognize that, nothing makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. Now, we do hope, of course, that many of you will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there. You can listen to them 4 hours a day. You can listen, actually, of course, the archive programs 24 hours a day. You can listen on iPod, you can listen on MP3, you can listen to even the telephone through our Genesis program. Pick them up anytime if you have unlimited minutes and listen to those programs. Just put them into memory. Get the information, begin to understand what's going on, and then please inform others. Try to get them to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian and certainly Jewish civilization, because, of course, Israel is being systematically betrayed by its own leaders. And who is funding that? Why, your tax money, ladies and gentlemen, as Barry brought out. Why, of course, the PLO is going to go ahead and give all of the terrorists, the 1,027 terrorists, each a gift of $5,000. And who funds the PLO? Why, of course, it's, well, half the money comes from your tax money, and half the money comes from the European Union. So half of the money that's going to go to the terrorists will come from you. But we're funding terrorist organizations all throughout the world. We're toppling all of the governments over there in the Near East and the Middle East and turning them systematically over to the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been funded by our intelligence agencies. Our intelligence agencies and British intelligence, going back to 1928, you need the book. It's entitled The Devil's Game.